And you know what I forgot to do? I meant to put this in my show notes. I love the theme song.
Oh, isn't it great?
The theme song is good.
Amazing. This
and I can actually put that in. Jose Show. At the end. Yeah, man. It was put. I just wrote it down. Hold on.
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Jose
Show.
Oh,
yeah, it's by Nick Flexer and his dirty mangy dogs.
I am your host, Jose Roldan Jr.
Yes.
And tonight's special guest.
She was in the Grim Reflections TV show, Trepanation, which is a movie, and she's going to be doing a movie with John Snyder called One Month Out. She is the director, the writer, and the lead actress in the movie Zombies. I'd like to introduce to you Alicia Marie. How are you
Hello.
Doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing good. It's beautiful here in Central Florida. I live in Zephyr Hills, which is about 25, 30 miles north of Tampa. And
okay.
I know you're like in the panhandle, so that's pretty cool. So you can like wave at me from up there.
Yeah.
So now let me tell everybody how I found you. I had interviewed one of the actors in the movie Zombies and James Poole.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me about you. He said, you're a very nice lady and you're out there trying to get a hold of her and interview her. And so that's exactly what I did. And I didn't realize you were in the middle of, you had just finished filming Zombies and you're in the process of editing it and all that stuff. And so it looks like a lot of work. So,
yes.
So let's go, like when you were in high school, middle school, did you attend any type of acting class or theater class in school?
When I was in high school, I had a drama. It was one of my electives. So I did take drama for, I think, my freshman and sophomore year in high school.
Oh, cool. I wish I would have done that. I don't know why I didn't do that. I love to act. I mean, I did some acting in middle school. Well, I went to Christian school first, so I didn't really do any acting in middle school or high school, but that was like in the elementary school that I did that. And then I did some acting in church. But that's pretty cool. At least you got a little bit of a background. Now, when you went to college, what was your major in college?
My major was actually nursing.
Oh.
But I realized that was not my path. I didn't quite have the stomach for bodily fluids. So I was like, you know.
I can understand that. Bodily fluids is not my thing. I know my daughter, she works at Tampa General Hospital, and she's a nurse's aide because she wants to try to be a nurse practitioner eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And so she does exactly what you don't want to do. See,
right.
But see, being a nurse, you don't have to worry about that much because that's what the nurse's aides are for.
Here's the thing. When you're understaffed and there's two nurse's aides and there's 40 rooms, you end up having to do it all yourself. So, I mean, it was nice when we had a nurse's aide to get to that part, but usually for the most part, we were doing all of our own stuff. So
I could
that's
see
what
your
I
point.
Thought as well. Hey, I won't be doing that, but that was not true.
I don't blame you. I would have picked something different. Now, why did you decide to become an actress?
I didn't really decide to become an actress. It was just something I've always wanted to do ever since I was little. I want to say when I was like 4 or 5, my parents bought me this Hollywood starlet dress-up kit for Christmas or my birthday, one of those. And it had like a fur stole and these high heels and all these glitzy, glamoury things. And I just looked at the box and it was just like,
ooh,
that is what I want I do. So I probably say my whole life, if you ask my mom, she will tell you my whole life, all I've ever wanted to do was to be an actress. So I think it was kind of decided for me.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Now I try to do a little bit of research. And so, as I was typing in your name, I saw the little film you did, called Shopper Size. That was actually pretty cool. I like that.
Yes. It was a little film I did because I love to shop. And so we kind of had a joke about how they make everything into an exercise. And I was like, that'd be funny if they had like shopping exercise because I'd actually do that. And then kind of just my mom and my sister helped me out and we shot the video at the Goodwill. And it was a lot of fun.
You know, it makes sense what you said because You don't realize when you go shopping, you're pushing a cart around, you're going like this to the clothes on the rack, right. You're reaching to grab something like a pair of shoes. So you're actually getting a form of exercise. So, man, you should start a video like that, Shopper-size, and go around to different stores. No, so that was really cool. I watched that, and I'm like, man, this girl is very talented.
Gosh. Thank you.
I would have probably done something like that. I used to get embarrassed, but I don't anymore. I can do anything, and, you know, because not only do I do the podcast, but I also, like, what I do is I take my podcast, and I do video, because it's in video as well, so I share that with my podcast audience, and then I also have the Jose Show Zephyr Hills edition, which is like my video arm, and that's just for my town. So that way they see who I talk to, and you know, now people are starting to call me and wanting to be on my little show. So it's actually pretty cool. So anymore, it doesn't embarrass me, and obviously it doesn't embarrass you because you did something like that. But dude, it was really good. But
thank you.
So now, I seen some of the videos that you had on YouTube for the film that you wrote, you starred in, and you're directing called Zombies. And, you know, I love the logo. I wish the logo was a little bit more clear, but, you know, the way Zoom does, you can't, like, make it smaller. Right. But I'm really interested in seeing this because it really looks cool just from some of the little stills that you've done, the pictures, especially the two ladies that are running. And, you know, they're wearing pink, and then the one lady gets stung by bees. So kind of explain why you decided to film a movie, a thriller, instead of, say, like a drama, a love story, or action film.
Again, it wasn't really like a conscious decision. I love sci-fi. Like, if you ask me what my favorite genre is, it's sci-fi. I love Star Wars.
Me too.
You know, like all the Stargate shows, you know, everything like that. So for me to write a sci-fi film is not, you know, out of my wheelhouse. I love all those cheesy movies you see on the sci-fi channels, like the Sharknados and,
yep,
you know, all those six-headed sharks movies and stuff like that. And so it wasn't like I was like, hey, I'm going to write a sci-fi movie. It was, I just had this idea pop into my head while I was talking to somebody, and it was just like, why is that not already a sci-fi channel movie? You know, Zombies just feels like it's something that should have been done already, you know.
Yes.
Pretty much just kind of writes itself, you know. They got Zombievers. So I think like Zombies is kind of just like, you know.
Well,
like,
it
should have already been done.
there's a group of people that really like these types of films. You know, I watched the Sharknados. I just interviewed a lady from the movie Swim, which is a Tubi TV original, Jennifer Field. So I just interviewed her. And, you know, they are cheesy, but they're actually pretty cool, you know. So I like stuff like that, especially The Asylum. They make good movies.
Yes. I love, like, pretty much all of their movies. I've probably seen them all. And I just saw Swim as well on Tubi. I liked it, so.
I did, too. Jennifer Field, she is a very nice lady. She's very bubbly. So if you ever get a chance to talk to her or maybe star in your next film, I would talk to her because she is really, cool. She's really a sweet lady. So, okay. So now when you decided to do this film, how long did it actually take you to write it?
So I want to say I got the idea for it in January of last year. And then I went to California to visit my family. And so while I was there is when in kind of like March is when the first lockdown happened. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't have anything to do. So I just kind of just started writing. I want to say I finished my first draft of the script on June the 5th of last year. Wrapped principal photography on June 4th of this year. So it was kind of like, I guess, 364 days from the time I finished my first draft to the time we wrapped principal photography. So it all happened really quickly. I wasn't expecting it. I honestly thought it'd be a couple of years before, you know, I got it done or even started to get it into production at all. So honestly, the post-production, Filming is the easy part. Yeah. The post-production is a lot harder and is definitely taking a lot more time. Yeah, so I'm not really sure like when the film will be done and what like the total time frame of it will be. But I will say from first draft to principal photography wrap was a year.
Wow. When I was watching some of your videos where you were showing how you edit, you know, you'd film one scene, you know, five or six times or whatever, and then you try to pick the best one and then syncing the audio. And man, I have a hard time just doing one video like on Zoom. And like the other night, it took me 3 hours to do one video, and I couldn't imagine the time you're going to spend doing this.
That was the thing, because it's like, I've done like little short films and stuff, and it does like, I would do these little videos just to put up on social media, and it would take me hours just to do this like little 3 minute clip. So, and that was, I'm not even having to sync audio. I'm just using audio from my phone or whatever. But the whole, you know, all of the preparation that goes into it, I was not prepared for it. Wow. So I was thinking, oh, it'll only take me a couple of weeks to edit it.
Yeah.
I want to say it probably took me about 6 to 7 weeks. And that was me like just hammering through it. I was probably editing 10 to 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. Like I didn't take any breaks whatsoever. I do not recommend this at all. If you're going to try to edit your own feature film, don't do it, because you will have almost a mental breakdown. So don't do that. Don't do that at all. But I have finished the first rough draft of the editing, and it was about 2 hours and 15 minutes. So I still have to cut some out to get it down to a 90-minute film. But
wow, that's amazing.
It is a lot of work. It is a lot of work editing. And I was like, how do filmmakers do that? But I realized there's usually one person who does different things. One person is not doing all of it. You know, one person isn't writing and doing crafty and producing and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, there's different people for different things. And when you're the one person doing all those things, it definitely is a lot more time consuming.
Yeah, at the end, you're going to be like pulling your hair out like, ah!
I hope not.
No, don't do that, though.
But yeah, so it's definitely been a labor.
Labor of love.
Post-production, yes. And I honestly had to step back this past month, September, because I had burnt myself out. And I had to take a step back from it just to give myself some time to, you know, kind of like recalibrate my brain stem and whatnot. But yeah, so.
I know what you mean, because like I said, last month or this month, I had like 12 interviews or something like that. And that doesn't seem like a lot, but I work a 40-hour work week with the school system. And then trying to watch stuff that you or somebody else did, try to look up any type of bios. So each episode, depending on who it is, I could spend 1, 2, 3 hours, and then to edit it, you know, depending on how long the episode is, another hour or two. So I've got anywhere from say 2 to 5 hours per episode or per person I interview. So you like this month, man, I am literally burned out. I mean, it's like, oh my goodness. Like I said, I got 11 episodes in the can that I got to edit before, you know, I put yours out. And so I can understand you wanting to step back and just kind of take a breather. And then that way your mind's fresh and new. And so with that, we're going to go ahead and take a commercial break. You're listening to The Jose Show on Turfs Up Radio.
Hey, it's Ryan Lee, host of Lighting for Profits here on Turfs Up Radio. I go live every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Make sure to set yourself a reminder, because I am pulling back the curtain and revealing my top secrets for success in starting, growing, and eventually selling a multi-million dollar landscape lighting business. That's right. Each week, I'll be sharing business advice to help you increase your profits and gain freedom from your business. I have a new guest on each week that also shares their insights and experience in the industry. So set you a reminder now and join me live at Lighting for Profits every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern.
And welcome back to The Jose Show. I am your host, Jose Roldan Jr. And tonight we're talking with director Alicia Marie from the movie Zombies. So, yeah, I like some of the music they have in these commercials, because you want to, like, be bopping around. So now, how did you go about casting the actors for this movie?
While I was writing it, there were a couple of the main characters that I was writing specifically for some of my actor friends here in the area. So when I just, you know, it was kind of like, hey, I wrote this role for you. Are you interested? And they were like, yeah, of course. So a lot of the main roles I had already in mind who I wanted for them, and I wrote them specifically for those people. The main lead actor role, I had no idea who I was writing it for. And so I put out casting calls. You know, we did casting calls for, you know, the main supporting roles that I hadn't, you know, written for. And we did a lot of casting calls on Facebook and Facebook groups and things like that. A lot of were actors that I had worked with in the past, and they, you know, just wanted to help out. Because basically, really, what I'm trying to do is to build a film, a thriving, paying film industry here where I live. So that we don't always have to drive to New Orleans and Atlanta and all over the place, you know, that we can have a thriving industry right here in our own backyard. That's my goal. But yeah, so a lot of the people I already knew and had previous experience with, but a lot of the people too, a lot of the day player roles were brand new. Like they'd never done any acting before. It was like their first time on camera. It was their first time performing at all, a lot of them. So it was really cool also to just give that opportunity to somebody who was interested in it, but didn't know how to start or, you know. I will say that the casting process was probably not my favorite as well. Just because I did a lot of Zoom auditions. And reading with all of the people, you know,
I've seen you do that. I seen that video where everybody was reading, and that was pretty cool too.
Yeah, we the table read. Yeah.
Yes.
That was once we had like our whole cast and stuff like that. But you know, because of the plague, I mean, COVID.
I know.
You know, everyone's doing the Zoom thing. So, and then it was like too, you want everybody to get the role. You don't want to tell, you know, anybody, you know, or, you know, so I would say that was probably what I didn't like most about the casting process was not being able to have everybody.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah. I wish you guys were closer. I would have loved to have been in this film. I mean, I've only been in one, and that was for a film festival, a guerrilla film festival at, they showed it at the Alamo Draft House in Texas. Mm-hmm. And that was back in 2012. Me and my daughter were in it, and it was just only like a less than 10 minutes short. Mm-hmm. So that's as far as I've ever gotten from acting. So most of my acting is doing this right here, the little Zoom. But yeah, man, Fort Walton Beach for me is, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 hours, you know, in the Pensacola area. So that's not too bad. But, you know, if I lived closer, it'd have been a lot different. But see, I never see these casting calls. Like, I've always looked for them. I mean, they do filming here in Tampa. I'm still waiting for my big break, but, you know, who knows, one day.
Yeah, you have to join. There's like a lot of local, like, film groups on Facebook that you have to join because that's usually where you'll see the casting calls. So
okay.
I'm not really familiar. I know there's like a lot of Film Florida casting or groups that you can join where they're like for all over Florida, not just one specific area where they post a lot of casting calls and things like that.
Now, let me ask you this question. Being on set, did everybody have to wear masks or did you require them to be vaccinated or what?
Yes, on set, all the crew had to wear masks. We had the cast get tested every couple of days. Vaccines were not mandatory. But when we were filming, the vaccines were just barely coming out. So they were only available to some people.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it was just like, you know, everyone wear masks, get tested every couple of days. And we didn't have anybody.
Oh, that's
good. You know, get sick or anything like that. And it was hard It made things a lot difficult. I will say that whole, I can imagine. You know, COVID thing, everything, you know, because everyone's kind of like, oh my God, you know, every time somebody coughs or sneezes, it's like, you know, or whatever. But
I know.
It was good. It was good. Nobody got sick. So we were really, you know, blessed in that regard. And once the vaccines did start coming out, people started getting vaccinated and things like that. And, but it was never mandatory or anything like that.
It's like me. I take, lisinopril for my high blood pressure, and lisinopril, one of the side effects is you have like a cough, and it's not all the time, it's just every so often. So when I do that, people are like, oh my God, this guy's got COVID. Like, no, it's a side effect. You know, I mean, it's either I don't take it, and then my blood pressure goes up the roof, and you know, so, but no, I understand what you're saying.
Right.
Now, who is the producer of this movie?
Our producer was Nick Smith. He is, originally from England, but he's been here in the area for quite some time now, and he's done a lot of short films. He's done actually a couple of feature films in England and here in the States as well. So he had some experience, and I had reached out to him, you know, just to kind of like, hey, what do I need to do with my next steps? I have this script. And he was like, hey, well, send it to me. And I sent it to him, and he read it. And like 2 or 3 days later, he was like, let's do it. And I was like,
cool.
Okay, what, you mean like, what, next year? And he's like, no, let's do it now. Okay.
You're like, okay, let's go. Wow.
Yeah, so he was really great. He's very helpful. Like, I obviously couldn't have done it without his expertise and things like that. So he definitely got the ball rolling, because I probably would have waited until this year, next year, to get started.
Now, I actually love bees. I took a course through Penn State online, and you know, once next year when I retire, I'm hoping to start some beehives in the backyard. And you know, bees are an amazing creature, and you know, so I know you learned a little bit about them in order to do this film, and I know you went to a hive, and I saw the pictures where they were filming the hive for the bee sound. Now, did you get really close to the bees yourself?
Oh, we were up in it. We were right in the middle of it. So we actually were filming that bee farm for one of the scenes. And Nick was there, because he was our sound guy that day. And we were like sharing little pieces of bee gear. I think I was just wearing the jacket. And then our cinematographer, she actually got stung. One of the bees got caught in her hair. But we were like kind of like right there in the middle of it. And it was just kind of like, you know, don't move. She's like, don't swat, don't swing. And it was just kind of like,
yeah,
you know, don't be okay. Cause they're not going to attack you unless they feel like you're threatening them. But it was just unfortunate that the bee, you know, got caught in her hair, and she was, you know, she's like, once they get caught in your hair, you have to kill them, cause you can't get them out. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Bees are pretty docile. You know, at work one time we had a lot of honeybees swarming around this one area, and everybody's like, oh my God, you got to kill them. And I'm like, no, I went right up, and there was probably 20 of them, went right up to them, did what I had to do, didn't get stung. And then they just flew away, you know? So, that is pretty amazing, but it probably was scary since you've never done that before.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I definitely wasn't like, I mean, she also had smoked them out a little bit, so they were a little bit, you know, calmer, because she was taking she's taking them out, showing us the different, hives that she had, and showing us the drones and the queens and the eggs and all the kind of different stages. So she did have them put to sleep a little bit. But it was a little unnerving, really, the sound. It's the buzzing noise for me. It's not really the bee itself. It's just that, like, that noise. It's just kind of like, you know, stop. But I did learn a lot about bees preparing for it, because I think, you know, like you said, people have a misconception that bees are just, you know, flying around waiting to sting somebody. And for the most part, they're not, especially honeybees, you know, because when they sting you, they die. That's it. They can't sting you repeatedly. So they're less likely to sting you, because that is the end for them. And we do try to put it into the movie how important bees are to the environment.
That's good. Yeah, because it was amazing that I didn't realize, you know, the worker bee, they're all females. The drones are males. And the drone's sole purpose is to mate with the queen. Mm-hmm. And once he mates with the queen, she rips him apart, and he falls to his death. and that's it. Now, if he doesn't mate with a queen, he comes back to the hive, and eventually his sisters get tired of him, push him out. He flies away, and he dies a few days later. So it's just amazing. And then it's like a circle of life. You know, bees don't have a long lifespan, and, you know, they're constantly reproducing. But that is, it's just so cool. And when I seen those pictures, you know, I like looking at stills of everything of you with the actors. And so it's actually, it's pretty cool. Like I said, I just really can't wait. I'm really excited about this. So you got to hurry up and finish it.
I am trying. Believe me, I would be very excited if it was done already. There's so much to do. Like I said, because, you know, I still have to cut it down to like 90 minutes. We have to get it color corrected. We have to do the sound mixing, the Foley, and especially the CGI or the BGI, as we've been calling BGI. It. We have to find, you know, a good VFX artist, because we're okay with cheesy, but we don't want it like ridiculously cheesy. Like, oh my God, yeah. That's horrible. So there's still quite a bit to be done. And we're, you know, just kind of doing the best we can. My producer's actually in New York teaching a film class. So I don't have as much access to him as I did in the beginning. So I'm kind of like, you know, kind of just trying to figure things out on my own. And he's doing what he can from there and stuff like that. So, yeah, I wish it was almost finished too. I wish we had the premiere next week.
All right, I'm coming. And with
yeah, you should come. You should come.
Who knows? I may be able to. And with that, we're going to go ahead and take a commercial break. You're listening to The Jose Show on Turfs Up Radio.
There's more to landscape lighting than just throwing a fixture under a tree. The best display is one that was not only designed well, but also stands the test of time. High-quality fixtures and bulbs are key to long-term success and customer happiness. At Emery Allen, our focus is on creating only the highest performance landscape bulbs in the industry, with long-lasting components that don't degrade or flicker with age. Each bulb's appearance is always consistent throughout your lighting project. We offer a wide range of base types, beam spreads, and color choices that will fit your needs. To learn more, give us a call at 843-480-4473 or email us at info@emeryallen.com.
And welcome back to The Jose Show. I am your host, Jose Roldan Jr., and tonight we're talking with director Alicia Marie from the movie Zombies. So now let me ask you a question. When, you know, you have the actors, and I know on your, I've seen on your website and on your Instagram feed, you're selling merchandise, you know, shirts and stickers and stuff like that. Where does the actual money come from if, let's say, you don't sell that stuff to pay the actors? Does that come from your pocket, or like, how does that work?
So with the store, it's print on demand. So none of it ever comes out of my pocket.
Cool.
We just figured that was the smartest way to do it, so we didn't have to spend money on merchandise. And as you said, don't worry about, you know, selling it. I have pretty much financed this whole thing myself. I had money saved up, and then my husband also, you know, whenever he would get bonuses from work, he would give it to me. So all of the actors have been paid.
your husband's money's yours and your money is yours, right?
Exactly. What's mine is yours. What's yours, you know, what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine.
There you go.
We did have some contributions, but I would say that most of it was, mostly self-financed.
Okay. I do want to buy something. I was going to buy something when I first got a hold of you, and then I just got sidetracked and I forgot. So I will do that. One of the other questions that I had, I know you're going through the editing process and you're going to cut it down to about an hour and a half, 90 minutes. But the thing is, you may have to cut some people out that were in the film. What is that like doing that?
It's not fun, you know, especially if it was like their only line. I've had that happen to me when I had like a little one line role and it ends up not making it to, you know, the TV show or the film or whatever. So I know what that feels like. Thankfully, I haven't had to yet. I don't know what I'm going to end up having to cut out to make it shorter. I am planning on doing like a full length director's cut where like I just keep the whole thing intact so that there will be that version where they can see themselves in the film. But that's I'm cool. hoping I won't have to cut anybody's scene.
But, I know.
You know, it's just kind of what happens sometimes, you know. Yeah, but I would feel really bad.
It's like before I interviewed James Poole, I was watching one of the films that he was in. You know, I saw it on IMDb. And then when I interviewed him, I said, hey, I watched this one film. I said, but where were you? Like, I didn't see you. And he goes, I was cut out. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. But he still got credit for it.
Yeah, you still get credit. You still get paid for it. But I think a lot of actors would honestly prefer to see themselves on screen than to get paid. I would prefer both personally. But, you know, it's just the life.
Just the life.
It's just the life.
Now, what do you have planned for the future after this? You're going to write another film, do another movie, be director again?
So depending on how this one does, I actually kind of have in my head two more sequels to Zombies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just like I said, you know, in case it becomes one of those like cult classics or whatever that everybody loves and it makes $1 million, I am already spitballing two more sequels or bequels to it. I do have a couple of other films that I scripts that I'm working on right now. I'm working on kind of like a Hallmark movie and mystery-ish type movie. And also Nick has a few films as well that we're planning on doing together. So we've kind of like combined forces because he's a writer as well. So he's got feature films that he's writing. I've got feature films that I'm writing. And we're, you know, kind of already like looking into the future to see which one we want to do next. So there are more films to come. I just got to get through this one first. just got to get through this one.
Now, are you going to try to distribute this through, like, say, Tubi TV or some kind of streaming channel, or is it going to go direct to video?
We're working on that. We still have to look into distribution. We have had someone kind of reach out already, which was kind of surprising because we're not even, like, really in that phase yet. But, I mean, my ultimate goal would be for it to be on the Sci-Fi Channel, or if the Asylum distributed it or something, that would be like really awesome. But you know, there's Amazon, you know, anybody can put their film on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
Tubi is definitely Netflix. Just pretty much we're open to all avenues of getting the film out there. I don't know about DVDs quite yet. I think maybe after we, you know, figure out distribution, we can do that because, you know, there's the upfront cost of DVDs and things like that. And so, so we'll just kind of have to see like what happens, but, definitely streaming services. I mean, again, like I said, Sci-Fi would be amazing.
That would be amazing. Oh, wow.
But, you know, I figure, you know, shoot for the stars and why not? You know what I'm saying? The worst you can do is not hit it. Right.
That's it. You gotta aim high, aim high.
Exactly. Aim high.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, that's kind of what we're thinking right now, or we're working towards. That's the goal.
Cool, cool. Well, it has been awesome to talk to you tonight. We're going to go ahead and get ready to close. And so before we close, if you have any final words, any advice you'd like to give, and then go ahead. Yeah, I know. Go ahead. And it could be something funny. And then go ahead and share your social medias, your B sites and all that stuff.
I think really I would just encourage anybody, if you have a dream, to go for it, because the only way you're going to fail is if you don't try at all, you know? And I think people get scared that they are going to fail, and so they never try, but you never know if you don't try at all. You know what I'm saying?
And exactly.
I just kind of feel like one of the biggest regrets that you can have is to not try at all. So, you know, go for it. Why not? You know, what's the worst that can happen is that, you know, it doesn't happen, but at least you tried. And again, if you're editing a movie, don't don't pound through it unless you're on a very critical deadline. Don't do it.
What are you using to edit?
Premiere Pro. And I've never used it before. So that also was taking some time because it was a learning curve for me because I've never used such a, you know, fancy editing software.
Yes, I'm using Demo Creator. That's a cheap one, like $79.
I was using VideoPad by NCH Software, which was free for like the past 10 years. I've been using this, you know, software. So I knew it and I'm familiar with it, but this was like a whole nother ball game. So, yeah, so that was fun getting to learn a new program.
Cool.
So social media sites, we're on Facebook. We're on the gram at Zombies, the movie, Zombeez. Our YouTube channel is Zombeez. The movie as well. We have, let's see, if you'd like to donate.
Yes, go ahead.
Cash App us at Zombies the Movie, Venmo Purple Hair Productions. We also have a GoFundMe. All of the links you can find on our social media sites. Any donation would be very helpful so we can get our film, you know, finished and, you know, support independent filmmakers.
Yes.
I just also want to say thank you so much for inviting me on the show, for reaching out and having me on here. It's been a lot of fun.
It's fun. You're bubbly. And if anybody would like to get a hold of the Jose Show, you can reach me on Facebook. I have a page and I have a group. And I am on Twitter at Jose Roldan Jr. That's at JoseRoldan. JR. And on Instagram, I am the Jose Roldan. That's THEJOSERoldan. And tonight we were talking with Alicia Marie, the director from Zombies. I had to put a little bit more emphasis on that.
You got to put the Z on there.
I do appreciate you spending time with me tonight. It's been fun. And I definitely will put all the links in the show notes so that way people can, you know, check it out and help support and buy merchandise. And, with that, you have a good night, and I'm getting ready to play our outro. Make sure you share this with your friends, family, and your enemies, and because they may not be your enemies anymore if you share the Jose Show with them. You're listening to the Jose Show on Turfs Up Radio. Man, and you know what I forgot to do? I meant to put this in here, and it's in my show notes. I love the theme song.
Oh, isn't it great?
The theme song is good.
It's amazing.
And I can actually put that in. I can edit that in at the end. But yeah, man, it was put, I just wrote it down. Hold on. What did I do with it? Oh, yeah, it's by Nick Flagstaff and his Dirty Mangy Dogs.
Yes.
That was so good, man.
Yes.
So cool.
Thanks for listening to The Jose Show. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And see you next time on The Jose Show.